from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. It is September the 28th. This is America's Heroes Group Roundtable with Partner Veterans Business Project. I'm the host, Cliff Kelly. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith, and our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari. We're pleased to have also in our studio Lynn Lauder, major U.S. Marine veteran and co-founder and CEO, co-CEO of Veterans Business Project. Len, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Great to see you again.
Thank you for having us.
You're looking well. You really are. You guys,
Thank you.
Dale Eisenberg, son of World War II pilot, co-founder, and co-CEO of Veterans Business Project. How you doing?
Great to be here.
You folks looking good. A discussion updates on Veterans Business Project, a federally registered 501c3 nonprofit, which, this is so great, promotes small business ownership opportunities for our military veteran and their spouses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just a great organization. That's why we're so happy to have them back. Who wants to start off?
Well,
Len?
Cliff, thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Since we were here last time, I got some good news to report to you.
Beautiful.
The big challenge that we have been facing for years now, post 9/11, is the fact that veterans that want to start their own businesses cannot get access to capital to do that. The banking community banking has changed. The whole banking environment has changed. So the scrutiny, so to speak, or the requirements that our veterans are put to are basically not achievable for the majority of them. Whereas post-World War II, 49.7% of our veterans did get into business for themselves because the banks did give them access to capital, and the Fed was a 50% loan guarantor. At any rate, I sit on the SBA Advisory Committee for Veterans Business Affairs. A couple meetings ago, we had a representative from the Department of Treasury that came to tell us about their CDFI program that's been around 40 years. Community Development Financial Institutions Fund. This fund was designed for an LMI program, low to moderate income space, to help get businesses started, get the economy ramped. So it has direct applicability to the inner city communities and downstate rural areas like where I'm from. So this gentleman presented us this the program. Me and every other committee member were looking at each other and afterwards spoke to one another and said, why haven't we heard about this program before? You know, government is so big sometimes, silos and sandboxes, left hand, right hand. So what we've done, Cliff, is we are about ready to sign an operating agreement with one of the largest CDFIs in America out of Oakland, California, called Main Street Launch Veteran Launch. This is an important thing for us to do. California has 1.3 million veterans. The program that we have, matchmaking, we're going to be able to form that CDFI relationship with them. There are 14 other CDFIs, including right here in our backyard, that do lend to veterans right now that are ready to go. So thank God Almighty, literally. So, you know, the old saying, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. But we just actually happened onto this program, not knowing. And we think this is the closest thing to the silver bullet that we have needed to really get this program ramping. So we have our business matchmaking thing that Veteran Business Project does. Mm-hmm. We're talking about stores that are established, getting veterans in there with companies and store, mm-hmm. you know, that businesses that already function, not mm-hmm. startups. Mm-hmm. So that's a great rolling start.
Sure.
And now that we can get them money, now we got something going. So we think that this is going to ramp pretty aggressively, Cliff. And so we've been at this almost 6 years. It's a good time right now.
I think it's just great, man. That is fantastic. And, well, we'll go on. Dale, you want to add?
Well, at this point, we're still getting a number of people that have been coming to us through the site and after our meeting here last time. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a few new veterans that we're working some cases with. I have a veteran, a Marine in New York City that came to us, and he's looking to get into some franchising. So we have some great opportunities, excuse me, there. And we still have our opportunity in Des Moines, Iowa. So we're mm-hmm. actively seeking out a veteran to put in there.
This is great. So what else, Len, what else do we need to know? I mean, people need to know how to...
One thing, Cliff, that we want to do, mm-hmm. and we want to do this in the inner city, south side Chicago, Judge Hooks is in on this.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
So what we have right now is this massive wealth transfer that's going on in our country that most people aren't aware of. What I mean by that is there was a study 5 years ago that indicated that at that point 45% of the currently owned small businesses owned by veterans, those folks are age 65 and older. So no succession plan. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. We run into this quite a lot, actually. Typically, we get approached by baby boomer couples. And let's say one example I can remember was a dry cleaning store. And the dry cleaning store, the mom and dad had worked in it. And it had supported the family, put their kids through school. But now that the kids are educated and they're mm-hmm. elsewhere, they don't want anything to do with this business that really blessed the family. So they come to us, and their options are typically where you need to find an owner. We'd like to sell it and to retire, mm-hmm. but we can't seem to find anybody. Somebody told us about you all, mm-hmm. and we were thinking maybe a veteran.
Sure.
And can you hook us up? And we always do. We always do.
Yeah, you find, yeah.
So that is happening not only in the veteran community, Cliff, but all across America in just small business in general.
That's great.
It's massive. There's no succession plan program. Mm-hmm. People aren't just on it. They're into it, but they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. South side of Chicago, what I want to do, what we want to do, mm-hmm. is hold some town meetings and find out who are those people down there that have their businesses that are looking to sell. And we want to help find veteran owner-operators for them that can come in, take over those businesses, run them, buy them out.
That is great. How did you decide? This is a great idea, and you know we're going to be all with you on this.
Yep.
How did you decide the South Side of Chicago?
Well, you know, I was raised downstate, but when I came back from the Marine Corps, I'm a Chicago guy through and through.
Okay.
It's needed. It's needed.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
And, you know, the other part about it, Cliff, is who answers the bell always mm-hmm. when our country goes to war? It's inner city guys and the rural guys mm-hmm. and gals now, too. It's inner city and rural people that respond. Mm-hmm. So this is right here close to home. Mm-hmm. You go where there's a need. You go where the vacuum is. And Bill Hooks, Judge Bill Hooks, mm-hmm. a dear friend of mine,
right.
is dead in the middle of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, doesn't surprise me at all. He's great. Yeah.
Here's the other part about it, too. Just a side on this, Cliff.
Sure.
We have veterans, like anybody else, sometimes get jammed up with the law. And what we're looking at to do is we are isolating with Bill a population of nonviolent offenders, veterans that have been through Bill's program. Now, they're going to come out of there, mm-hmm. and they've got a rap sheet. And these people, many of them, they've had a rough go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's got to be redemption somewhere in this pathway. What we want to do is to, instead of them getting a job, struggling to get a job, struggling to get a loan, ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. We're going to do an end run, put them in business for themselves. We want a couple of those folks to show people what they can do, and then we want to kick it in high gear.
How did you, your group, and you, Len, come up with that idea? That's a great idea.
Honestly. I'm just
you folks, you won't be able to see it until Manny posted, but he just pointed up. he just pointed. Is that it? You just came.
It really is. Yeah. You know, the I'll say it straight out. Mm-hmm. Jesus, that's one of the places he went. He went to the people that were struggling. Wow. These are veterans. They've served. They've done great things. Mm-hmm. They need a chance. They need a chance, and they'll take it from there. So at any rate, that was a brainstorm one day in the shower, to be frank, just thinking about it. And I talked to Bill a lot. I'm over there in his courthouse, and mm-hmm. I see these cases run through, and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. you know what? There, but for the grace of God, go we all. Mm-hmm. And this, here's somebody that served our country. In some cases, they've served it incredibly valiantly, and they got jammed up. It might be three strikes of marijuana, something mm-hmm. like
yeah.
that. I mean, you
yeah.
know.
Like some of the stuff they're going to take off your record now with the pot.
Yeah, exactly, right. And they should.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
let's see what we can do to get these people. And we get a couple of them having done it. Then the mm-hmm. word starts. It's the art of the possible.
There you go.
Now we got a template. Mm-hmm. Now it's not theory. It's reality. So that's another part of the inner city initiative we want to get rolling on. So I'm thinking wherever I can go in the community to meet people, introduce who we are, and we're a nonprofit. This mm-hmm. is what we want to do.
Yep.
No more. We don't need empty storefronts.
Mm-hmm.
We need
mm-hmm.
functioning businesses mm-hmm. and opportunities coming into the city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got you.
And who better than veterans?
I tell you, Len, when we do that, we're going to help you. You know that.
God bless you.
Yeah, absolutely,
thanks,
because this is just great. That's Len Lauder, Major of the U.S. Marine Corps and co-founder and co-CEO of Veterans Business Project, also in our studio. Dale Eisenberg, son of a World War II pilot, co-founder and co-CEO of Veterans Business Project. And it's just such a great opportunity for people that they're telling us about. This is updates on Veteran Business Project, a federally registered 501c3 nonprofit which promotes small business ownership opportunities for our military veterans and their spouses. You couldn't get any better. Our call-in number is 312-374-8130. If anybody has a comment or a question, we'll be happy to entertain it. We want to go to Len. Len, help us. I'm sorry, Dale, rather. That was Len that was speaking. Dale, tell us some more.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned was the South Side of Chicago. I've done business there for many years,
great.
About 13 years in Chatham. And the one thing I saw was the community, and it's a shame that some of the businesses that have been there for years, for whatever reason, had no way to pass them on. And then they wound up being abandoned. And that just doesn't help. So that's one of the reasons that we want to bring maybe some of these veterans actually came from the community, whether mm-hmm. it's Chatham or Garfield Park, wherever mm-hmm. it might be. Mm-hmm. It's only going to make the city stronger by each community. And keeping money in the community is important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was always something when I talked to the customers that they appreciated, that we weren't just taking money and leaving.
Right.
We kept reinvesting it into the building, into the mm-hmm. business. So I could see that being a real avenue for veterans and for lifting up some of these communities and revitalizing them.
You know, that makes so much sense when you say it that way, Dale, because we have had a lot of businesses in those areas that have closed, and there wasn't anybody there to take them over. So if you have right. if what you folks are talking about.
Well, they didn't have the means either.
The means, that's true. That's
and
right.
a lot of it yeah. is a lot of these owners would be more than happy to help finance
mm-hmm.
along with the bank, along mm-hmm. with the community programs that are offered through the city of Chicago and through the federal government. But they don't know about them. It's a lot of work just to try and start a business, much less finding money and
sure.
putting it on the books.
But this is an offer that can help a whole lot of people.
Yes.
Well, and
yes.
we'll start with the veterans, we think.
Yeah, I think it's a great place to start. You know, I would say that, right?
through the last almost six years, Cliff, we've uh-huh. met people left, right, and center, national level down to the community level.
Mm-hmm.
So fortunately, we have access to basically an unlimited pool of veterans.
That's
and
great.
We are pushing entrepreneurship, just like telling them that what happened to this country post-World War II and those men and women, veterans, that just did really, really great in small business.
Mm-hmm.
These folks today have this, they're made of the same stuff, Cliff, that those people were.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's changed.
Mm-hmm.
They just need a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I was going to tell you, too, one thing we know at this point is that for veterans, we're trained. You're a veteran. Mm-hmm. You're airborne, in fact, I found out.
Right.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trained to fight as a team. We're a team.
That's right.
So that's how they think. And so when we come into, like, south side of the city, building up the community, helping the community, lift it up, and so forth, opportunity, they get it. They completely get it. So it's a business with a calling. That's what it's all about.
How are we going? Have you talked to people on the south side or anywhere?
Talked to Bill about it. And
yeah, Bill, sure.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
on how we need to get this thing rolling.
Exactly.
So he and I were brainstorming that very part. Now, the thing we need to do is to, I'm thinking, I don't know, but I'm thinking getting around to some of the pastors.
Sure.
Some of his church, you know, and
sure,
have a church meeting.
Yeah.
And go right in there
and
get the word out and just start going from church to church or community center to community center on a regular basis, start getting the word out. It's going to be shoe leather stuff, Cliff, I think.
Well, we can help you with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something. But churches, that's a great way.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've got some organizations that you can also deal with that will be all right. You know what I mean? We have to make 501c3. We're going to make sure that everybody is on the up and up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because this is just this is a great, and of course, the judge wouldn't be involved unless unless it was straight up. That's for sure.
Yeah, Bill's a great guy.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Great Marine too, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
you keep telling me that.
It's all true.
you know our big jokes on that. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I even have discussions with the Secretary of State, you know, wonderful gentleman, but we say, yeah, but, you know, you were a paratrooper, but you were in the wrong unit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, you know, we all go, everybody on their own thing.
Sure. You were 82nd, right?
Right, yeah.
All-American division,
yeah. That's right. But it's so funny because when you think about units and then you think about actual different services, you know, this is off the subject, Dale, but your son was a World War II pilot?
Yep, my dad was, he was a Tagalier, if I'm not mistaken.
Ended up being a Tagalier.
Yeah, and sitting in the nose of the plane down
the war.
There. Yeah, towards the end, and so he's...
Well, that's what kind of plane is that? Is it?
Be a bomber.
That's what I thought, when you sit in the nose of the plane,
Dropping bombs.
Wow. Yeah. One of the things I've always wanted to do, I'm sure you guys know about it, they have somewhere out west in the county, they have once a year, they have some of these old planes that you can go and...
Sure.
And that's one thing I've always wanted. Flying in those bombers, oh, man. Woo!
You know, a lot of people aren't aware of this. Some of my Marine buddies, you know, when they get, we puff our chest, you know, unit pride, service pride, we all got it. That's
certainly.
But, you know,
we all love each other. I mean,
absolutely. It takes a team.
Right.
But, you know, Marines, we think about the flag raising on EWO and all that.
Sure.
There were more airmen killed from the 8th Air Force, that one unit. More men were killed there than the entire Marine Corps combined in World War II. These were the people that were doing those bombing runs, and the fighters could only go so far.
That's right.
And then they had to fly in with no air cover,
no cool.
And they got knocked out of the sky right, left, and center. Those people did incredible stuff. Hats off to them.
And I think how many, I've forgotten how many missions before you could go home? 30, I think it was?
I think they kind of kept nudging it up a little bit.
Yeah, because they had nobody else there.
Right, exactly. You thought it was 20. No, that's all changed. It's 22.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we didn't know that, right.
Yeah, really.
Right. That's where the Tuskegee Airmen got their big representation and the Red Tail.
Great outfit.
Yeah, to protect those bombers.
Yeah. Saw the last, might have been the last Tuskegee Airman, just might have passed or something.
Yeah,
I read something about that recently.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some great. We had one that used to come on the show quite often. Retired, obviously, you know, a few years ago, but he used to give us some, just listening, you know, it's great information.
Yeah.
But there's so many things that, you know, one of the things that, Paris, you been to Paris?
Sir?
Paris, have you been to Paris?
I haven't.
Okay. Been to Paris? Great place to go to. It's wonderful. But if you go, you got to do this. Go to Normandy.
Okay.
Because when you see what those guys hit, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as that barge would hit there, I mean, they,
right.
So many people just taken out right away.
Yeah.
And when you think of the wonderful things that they were able to do under extremely difficult circumstances,
mm-hmm.
and knowing it's something, you know, it's a great place to visit anyway. I mean, Paris is, but, you know, to be there and not see that,
sure.
You need to do it. I want to thank both of you gentlemen. So happy to have you with us. But, again, Major Lauder, and we have to make sure that we keep up, because we're going to do this together.
Yes, sir.
Of course, with the judge also. Dale, thank you so much. And we will do this and get and make sure not only, I think your first statement was great when you said church, the way we're going to have these meetings.
That's where it started.
And you pointed it up. That's right. That's where it started.
Close the loop. Close the loop.
I love it. I love it.
Yep.
Gentlemen, thank you both.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks,
Cliff. We will see you again soon.
Yes, sir.
We'll put this together.
Thanks for having us, sir.
Do we have a second to mention our website? TheVeteranBusinessProject.org.
Okay.
And our phone number in
Great.
Order to reach us.
Start over again. I'm sorry.
It's VeteranBusinessProject.org.
Mm-hmm.
And our phone number is 833-883-8249. So they can reach us anytime. We're available 24/7.
Great.
And if it's not even just about business, mm-hmm. we're happy to speak to them anytime.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you both. You're great. Appreciate you both.
Thanks, Cliff.
This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. It is 5:30. This is, of course, America's Heroes Group, and we will be back with more. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the Americans Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlement. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hey, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. This is September 28th, 2019, America's Heroes Group Roundtable, Military Families Matters. That's what we're going to be talking right now. I am, of course, the host of America's Heroes Group, Cliff Kelly. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith, and our digital media producer is Manny Corzari, and we're pleased to have him here also. And this is a very important, well, they're all important, but this is just great what we're going to be doing here with our guest. Beth Conlon, MBA Senior Advisor for Careers, Blue Star Family Staff, Washington, D.C. office, nonprofit that supports military families. Just let me mention what, and Beth will be with us, but advocacy for military spouse employment and an active duty Army spouse who has moved 7 times in 10 years with 5 years spent overseas in Germany and South Korea. Blue Star Families connects military families to their local communities to reduce social isolation and increase quality of life. She is an advocate for military spouse employment and an active duty Army spouse who has moved, as I just mentioned, and she works for the Blue Star Families. I just think it's great what they do. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing very well, sir. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know, it's so interesting because this is something a lot of people, Beth Conlon, don't even think about. Is that true?
I would agree with you 100% on that point. Not just about the military spouse employment angle, but there's a lot of misconceptions about military families in general. So I think we bring a lot of good insight and information to the conversation.
It certainly is, because what you have done, just mention it again since you're on now. Tell us exactly what you have done as a military spouse.
Absolutely. Well, I'm actually currently calling you from Columbus, Georgia. Mm-hmm. We are having one of those southern summer thunderstorms, so I apologize if the thunder outside interrupts our time on the radio here.
Okay.
But my husband is active duty Army, and we have just completed our 7th move over the last 10 years. We have lived on literally every corner of the planet, from Hawaii to Germany to South Korea to Georgia and a few places in between as well. And as you can imagine, moving that often, not only does it kind of like put a lot of stress on families, it also makes it incredibly hard for the non-service member spouse to maintain employment. So for the last 5 years, I have been advocating, informing, educating employers, decision makers, members of Congress, members of the business community about the value that military spouses bring to the table and the importance of allowing our military families to have dual income so that they both can thrive in their professions and provide for their families.
Well, obviously, you're doing a great job on that, Beth. And as an advocate for military spouse employment and active duty Army spouse, you said you have moved 7 times in 10 years with, I think, 5 years spent overseas in Germany and South Korea?
That's correct, sir. We did 3 years in Germany and then immediately 2 years in South Korea. And we just returned to the States in 2018 to Washington, D.C. We lived there for about 10 months before we moved this summer to Columbus, Georgia.
Okay. Now, why did you move to Columbus, Georgia?
My husband is a battalion commander, and the position, the unit he's in command of is down in Georgia.
So, okay, I got you.
Yeah, so when we were in Washington, D.C., he was assigned to the Pentagon, which was kind of just like a, you know, holding him over until his battalion command time could start.
What kind of unit is that, Beth?
He is commanding the infantry officer school. They call it IBOLIC now. So he is single-handedly responsible for making sure all of our brand new Army infantry officers can perform their job well.
That's great. That's a great responsibility. Great responsibility. Now, Beth, you know, you've done this, and obviously you're making not only the best of it, but you've done some great things in helping the Blue Star families. That is a nonprofit that supports military families. How does Blue Star do this?
We do this in a number of ways. So we are the nation's largest grassroots chapter-based nonprofit for military families. And what I mean by that is we have funded chapters around the country in 9 locations where we have paid staff on the ground to help deliver programs to our military families. In addition to that, we have what we call our neighborhoods that are run by teams of fantastic volunteers who connect our military families to our programs around. In the summertime, we do a parks program. We work with the National Park Trust to get military families out to parks. We do the same thing with national museums. Military families are able to access museums for free in the summertime. And then in addition to that, in both our funded chapter locations in our neighborhoods, we have a variety of book clubs that are for civilian and military families to come together. We have children's book clubs. We also have caregiving programs for those that are caring for a military service member or child or parent, in addition to the careers program that I run, so that we essentially are a 360-degree approach to supporting military families, and all of our programs encourage civilians to participate as well, so our civilian community can get to know our military community and vice versa.
And you see, that's so great because in many instances, and I've seen this happen before, but they didn't have it organized as you and your group does, Blue Star Families, but there are so many civilian families that really, and I think you all have changed this a lot, are really unaware as to what really many military families go through. The moving around, the fact that the military, the person in the service may not even be there, you know, at all. And, of course, if you have other people that are supportive, neighbors and so forth, that helps a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the great thing about Blue Star Families is that everything that we do is truly grounded in research. What we're sort of most known for in the military community is our annual Military Family Lifestyle Survey. And it's a very intensive survey that involves, this past year we had just over 10,000 respondents, both military and civilian. And it is from the data from that survey that told us that military spouse employment was a stressor, that civilians don't understand their military families, and that military families don't also relate to civilians very well. And so in order for us to kind of solve those problems, we truly looked at research to guide us in that. So we know we're providing programs that are needed, that are asked for, that are they're missing from what DOD and local entities are able to provide. So we really try and not duplicate efforts, but complement those that are already working in the space.
That is interesting. The survey really shows that there is some difficulty in understanding. Well, actually, it's both ways, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely both ways.
What happens, Beth, I know this is a very important issue, with the children?
And in what regard? What programs do we offer for them?
If you are a military family, you know, and the person in the military is away, you do all kinds of things, but to help. But is there a special programs, Beth, for children that are?
We do. We have a couple of different programs. So one of them is this. It's called START. It's a reading program that encourages parents to read to children. And we actually, this is one of our civilian sort of partnered programs that we offer, because it allows the children of military families to connect with the children of civilian families, as well as the adults in both situations. And so we hope to be providing them kind of a network outside of the military that they can learn to rely on. We also do, we actually do a lot of really fun things in the community. We just finished in San Diego, we did a skateboard build. So we surprised a bunch of military families with skateboards, and we all got together. We built them together. We had ice cream. We also often do bike builds, the same thing. So what some of our sponsors will sponsor a bike build. We'll bring a bunch of bikes to a local community area, build them all with the kids. We do. We've also partnered with Build-A-Bear to do what we call teddy bear picnics, and so we'll have the kids come out to a park. Bring some music, bring some food, and everybody will get to do kind of a Build-A-Bear workshop. And in a lot of those bears, too, we have the service member record a message so that that teddy bear can have their service member's voice in it that they can carry with them. So we kind of try and provide a variety of programming for children, all of it around sort of fun and activities that are engaging outside with, you know, other folks, so that they can learn to build larger networks. And through that, we've definitely are, as we put these events on, they grow in popularity and they grow in success and they get larger and larger. So that's telling us that what we're doing with our families is resonating well. It's kind of providing them a little bit of relief, a little bit of, you know, fun and connection out in their community. So we continue to take feedback from those activities and build on them every year.
I think that is just great what you're doing, Beth, because when you think of these things that you're talking about, I think most folks wouldn't have an idea. You know, you're talking about the children of both get to know each other, both groups, which is great. But you're talking about skateboard, bikes, Build-A-Bear, and service members sending a recording. That's great, isn't it?
It is actually quite outstanding. And you know, military children, too, kind of by their nature, they're so resilient that they're kind of the perfect population to just sort of do a variety of different fun activities with, because they are, you know, interested in a lot of things, curious about a lot of things, willing to try anything. And so if we can just provide a little bit of fun for even a weekend over the summer during a deployment or before school starts, that's what we look to do.
When you mention military children are resilient, tell us what you mean by that.
Well, I think when you grow up in a military family and you are used to moving every couple of years, then, you know, you're used to saying goodbye to friends. You're used to, you know, making new friends. You're used to navigating new neighborhoods and new schools and possibly new countries. And so I think a lot of the military friends that I have now that were themselves military children, they're used to this lifestyle. They're very open. They're very welcoming people. They understand kind of the changes and the challenges that face military families. But I mean, that's not to say it gets easier. I would say every deployment and every move doesn't necessarily get easier. But I think we all learn different and better ways to sort of cope with them. And I think our kids do that sometimes better than the adults do.
You know, that makes so much sense. We're so pleased to have with us Beth Conlon, MBA Senior Advisor for Careers, Blue Star Families, Staff, Washington, D.C. office. It's a non-for-profit that supports military families, and she's been telling us some things that most people, myself included, because when I was in the service, I didn't have a family, but what she is saying makes so much sense. Our call-in number is 312-374-8130 if you have a question or a comment. You know, what they're doing here is connecting military families to their local communities to reduce social isolation and increase quality of life. And actually, Beth, based on what you're saying, a lot of these military families, these children particularly, might be more well-rounded and know more about life and all kinds of other things than people who are not in the military.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, Cliff, I have to tell you, we have a Blue Star Families chapter in Chicago. So on your next weekend off, I suggest you check out the local chapter and see what they've got going on, and maybe you can see some of the stuff in action there. We have a fantastic chapter director there. Her name is Sarita, and so she delivers all the caregiving, the book clubs, the park and the museum programs to the Chicago community for both veterans and active duty. The rest of our chapters are kind of spread out all over the country as well, but we've got one in your backyard.
Well, and we are certainly going to do that, Beth. What's that? Was that name again that you gave?
Her name is Sarita.
Sarita, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sure we can get the number here. Okay.
I will connect you.
Yeah, that is great, because I can see this as, it's almost like the smartest children in high school normally are the ones they send overseas for a semester or whatever, you know, to learn more. Isn't that right?
Yeah. It's just when you learn to sort of... when you learn to adapt to different curriculum, different schedules, different extracurricular activities, I think that generally sort of helps you adapt to other things in life when you're used to, mm-hmm. to kind of adapting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if there are changes that are either purposeful, on purpose or not, you're still going to learn, and that's just a great thing. So we'll make sure we get to... Tell us, how did Blue Star Family start?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Our CEO and one of our founders, she was an attorney and had no exposure to the military at all. And she met a service member. They married and quickly moved a few times. And she had just had her second child, and he deployed immediately following that. And so she was... in a new town, didn't know anybody. Her husband had just left, and she had a newborn and a 2-year-old, and just had a lot of complications that she needed help with. And she thought, this can't be the way this works. Like, I don't even know my neighbors. So she decided there's got to be a better way for military families to integrate with their local community. And really from there, her and a few other military spouses agreed, and Blue Star Families was formed. And like I said, we use our survey to kind of guide what we operate with. And that was one of the first things they did, was they said, we need to find out what military families are missing and what they need. And so they had started the survey. We've been around for 10 years. The survey has been around for 9 years.
So this was started, Beth, 10 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. In the way you just mentioned, this young lady who had no idea what to do, and she was an attorney, did you say?
She was, yep. Yeah, she is a practicing attorney before she married her service member, active duty Marine husband, mm-hmm. and really kind of just said, this can't be the way things are done. There's got to be a better way. and decided that she was going to make that better way.
Isn't that great? That is something.
Yeah.
So it's 10 years old.
Yes, we are. We were founded in 2009, so we are just 10 years old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, I know it's been great. Because just to think about those of us, myself and others, of course, without families, but when you join them, when you're in the military and you move from place to place, you lose friends. You make friends, you lose friends. Hopefully, you know what I mean. But that is easier, I would presume. I can't say for sure because, as I said, I don't have a family. But I would presume, Beth Conlon, that. It is much more difficult to make those moves. Having to make new friends is different if you've got to leave your family in the process. That's a whole different issue. And that's why I think what Blue Star Families is doing is just something that's great. And I'm going to make sure that we certainly are able to find the group here, which will be no problem, obviously, here in Chicago. How many are there nationally? Do you know offhand?
So we have 9 chapters nationally, okay. Funded chapters with staff on the ground. We have about 35 neighborhoods. And every month we reach about 80,000 Blue Star family members with our newsletter. And we connect with about 1.5 million Blue Star family members every year. Now, that is both active duty, veteran, and civilian Blue Star family members. Those are not all active duty families. Mm-hmm. So with kind of a reach that's that large, that's how we're able to know really what's needed. And so when I developed the careers program here at Blue Star Families, it was really to address everything you just said, the moving, the mm-hmm. saying goodbye to friends, having to make new friends. And
sure.
We know that when the spouse is also able to maintain employment, that not only is that spouse's sort of well-being elevated, but the entire family is as well, because, you know, each person in the relationship has their own professional goals outside of the marriage. And then internally, they are able to participate in activities out in the community, and they're able to participate in the workforce and, you know, meet people they might not otherwise meet if they were unable to find employment. So our program to date so far, we know it works. We have helped connect nearly 500 military spouses with employment. We have infused over $43 million in economic impact to local communities. But there's still a lot more for us to do, because military spouses face an unemployment rate of over 25%, whereas our civilian counterparts, I think, right now are sitting at around 3%. So there's still a lot more for us to do, but, you know, hopefully as Blue Star Families continues to grow and reach more communities, and employers are able to see the value that we bring to the workforce, we'll be able to make some changes there as well.
I'm sure of it. You certainly started off doing great as the progress you've made. Let me ask you this, Beth. What about, and I'm talking about as far as families, obviously, what about military housing?
Well, I have to tell you, Cliff, I have never lived in military housing. Even when we were overseas, we lived out in a little German village, and in South Korea, we lived downtown South Korea. So I have never lived in military housing, and I can tell you it varies drastically by location and also by branch of service. So there's definitely some improvements they are currently working on and will continue to work on. Mm-hmm. And also to date, 70% of military families do not live on the installation, which again
what,
is
I'm
why
sorry, what,
families
what percentage do not live?
70% do not live on the installation.
Okay, I got you. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's again why what Blue Star Families does we think is so important, because our military families are living out in communities, and mm-hmm. so you know we really take to heart the mission to connect them to that local community.
Well, it's sort of funny the way you responded when I asked you that question, because you know about military housing, because obviously I'm aware of military housing. And, you know, I've never lived in military housing, but the way you responded to that, I thought was, I could understand that, you know, so I thought that was funny. But so anyway, this is just this group. It's what you folks are doing is just great, Blue Star Families. And there is, as he stated, a chapter here in Chicago, which we're going to be looking up to make sure. Can you give a number for our listeners?
We prefer people to go to the website. It's bluestarfam.org, and that's bluestarfam, S-A-M, .org.
Okay.
And on there, you can get the contact information. If you want the careers program, you can contact them. If you want mm-hmm. to find your local chapter, you can contact them there. If you want media contacts, you can contact our marketing team.
Okay. You've given us some great information, Beth Conlon.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We appreciate you and Blue Star Families. That's a great thing. And thank you so much for spending time with us today. And we're going to make sure that we take advantage of all the great things that you've been doing. All right?
Okay. And I'll tell Sarita to look for you at her next event. I'll make sure you guys get in touch.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. All righty.
All right, Cliff. Have a great weekend.
And you too, Beth. Okay. That's great. Great information from America's Heroes Group. All right, we are now, of course, going to our executive producer, Glenda Smith. Glenda?
Well, Governor of Talk Radio, what a fabulous show as always, because you're the host.
Well, thank you, because we got great information.
Absolutely, always. Regarding any information, resources, and referrals that's needed about affordable housing, social services, and wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. We thank you all so very much, iHeart Radio listeners. We're global because of you. And so thank you for watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the like button, our Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you will stay connected regarding future notifications of shows, events, and information regarding our resources, referrals about veterans, armed forces, and their family members with community. We're so also grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle of the Chicago Crusaders. You can read the article on veterans, armed forces, and their family members online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly article with the Governor of Talk Radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group, please call the Chicago Crusaders at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads, which is ads@chicagocrusaders.com, and request a subscription. To our technical producer, Mrs. Tierra Rando, thank you for keeping us balanced.